When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Welcome to the Basketball Addicts Podcast.
Yes, sir.
One podcast in the world that answers the only question. You're absolutely right.
Mm-hmm.
You guessed it. How can we sign the finals? Can't we get in? How can we have sign the finals? We can't even get in. And that's exactly, and I mean exactly, where we're going to go today.
Exactly.
Because there are a lot of things that just happened.
Yes.
In the NBA playoffs. A lot of upsets. A lot of shock.
Yes.
A lot of people getting things wrong.
Yes.
A lot of people getting things wrong. I mean, right.
Yes.
I'm going to put that out there. Listen, guys. Honestly, if you were looking for the Bucks, I'm sorry to tell you, if you've been living under a rock, the Bucks lost to the Miami Heat.
Yes. Yep. Yeah, they lost to the Miami Heat, and it was a great series. It was so much fun to watch. I mean, Jimmy Butler, first things first. That man might be the best player in the playoffs. Like he is ridiculous. His ability to defend so well, his ability to get to the shot create for himself and get to the basket. The dude's stepping it up major, major big time in the playoffs right now. He's defending so well. I can't believe the fact that they really upset the Milwaukee Bucks. It's amazing to me. I truly do think, though, still, if Giannis was healthy, fully healthy, didn't miss those two games, even when he came back, he didn't look like quite his freakish athletic self, in
yes.
my personal opinion. Okay, so I'm guessing you see the same thing. And they got beat. They got beat, and Jimmy Butler is he the best? Is Jimmy Butler the best player in the playoffs right now?
Are you asking me that question,
yes.
or is that just a question you're posing? No.
Okay, who do you have above him?
I'm leaning more toward the teams on the West.
Okay.
As some of the best teams, you know.
I'm
not going to take...
Individually.
Individually.
Is
Jimmy
the best?
Having the best run right now.
Okay.
But I don't think he's the best player in the playoffs.
Okay.
I would actually secure that for, like, Jokic, Murray.
Jokic, okay.
You know.
Yeah.
I would say like that's the best player in the playoffs.
Yeah. Okay.
Jimmy just having a good run right now. I'm not discrediting him. Like, please do not attack me. I'm not discrediting Jimmy.
Yeah.
I'm just saying he's having a fantastic run right now.
Mm-hmm.
And like he's getting all the good matchups right now. That was a great matchup for Miami.
Yeah.
You know, even though Giannis ended up getting hurt, you know, it was, you know, this charging thing, this charging fouls and stuff like that. We might need to reconsider how they're viewed in the NBA.
Oh,
I don't know how soon that's going to happen. Because two guys got hurt and they really swung the tide of a playoff game off a charge. So I think they need to be reevaluated how they're looked at now. I'm of the, you know, protect the players type of guy. So I'm of the mindset where that needs to be reevaluated. But off that,
I would disagree.
I
would disagree with you. I think the charge is needed in the NBA because
two guys got hurt though.
Well, let's be honest here. The NBA right now is so offensively focused and offensively skilled that taking mm-hmm. away any advantage from the defense might lead it to the best game of basketball getting to the point where it's not as entertaining. Right? Like, because I do think that if we were having 140, 150 points in a game or something ridiculous like that, it wouldn't be as entertaining because when you see somebody get a defensive stop, like, it's like, ah, it takes like the energy out of the crowd. You know what I mean? Like that push and pull. I feel like the push and pull's needed for basketball. So I think taking away the charge and the ability for somebody to try to draw a charge, I think it's not going to be good for basketball, in my opinion. I disagree with you.
I would disagree with you. I feel that defenses would have to step up. We already have high level defense in the NBA. That's the one thing that has been how do I put this? Added to the NBA since the taking away of hand checking. So you have to play defense at a high level. You have to be able to defend the person in front of you. But then the offensive skill is still up there as well. So it's kind of matching each other. So I think that if you remove charges or like stop, you know, or figure out a way to call charges in a different way or something of that nature, I don't believe that would technically take away from the defensive capabilities of those teams.
Okay.
And it might actually add to what we see defensively from certain teams, because we have, like I said, we have Jaren Jackson Jr. We have the Celtics playing great defense. You know what I mean? Those teams right there and those players individually, Kawhi Leonard, Paul George.
Yeah.
You don't have to draw a charge. You know what I mean? You can get a defensive stop, you know, steal the ball away, get a good block and not hurt somebody.
Yeah. I understand what you're trying to say. Yeah. I feel like it's definitely going to be an interesting thing. I highly doubt the NBA is going to take it away though.
Maybe just reevaluate how it's looked at.
Maybe, yeah. It's possible.
I wouldn't want to take it away completely. Like, if they can do it, if it can be done safely, in a safe manner, then, because, like, be honest with you. I mean, like, we're going to be honest, right? If Ja doesn't go down, he already had a hand injury, but they were playing good. Memphis Grizzlies were playing good against the Lakers. If he doesn't go down for those couple games, like, does the series look different? If Giannis doesn't hurt his back and go down for two games, does the series look different?
That's true, yeah.
And they're both off of charges, so it's like two guys back-to-back in two different series get hurt, and then the tie changes, and a seventh and the eighth seed wins.
I still think the Lakers would have won, but I see where your point is going. I feel like this is a good point.
I'm not saying it was competitive, but I think that I want to see more of with the hand injury, albeit, you know what I mean, he wasn't at 100%, but I still would have liked to see those teams go back to back and be more competitive with everybody on the floor every single game and seeing what the outcome would have been.
Makes sense.
Same with the Miami Heat, you know, Milwaukee Bucks series. If you don't have Giannis, and then, it kind of throws off the equilibrium because everything is ran through Giannis.
Yes.
So it's like, and Miami's not a smaller team. They have Bam. So it's like, you can't just post up Bam because Bam can defend you. Yeah. So it doesn't, their game plan doesn't work.
No.
Without Giannis.
Nope. Yeah. Yeah. I agree with you.
You see?
The Miami Heat move on, man.
Miami Heat move on.
And we actually got to see game one of Knicks Heat. And I got to see that. And I think the Knicks shot like 24% from the 3-point line or something ridiculous like that. They had an egregiously bad 3-point shooting game, but they still only lost by like less than 10, 15 points. It was really nice to watch. Jalen Brunson, I think, was 0-for-7 from the 3-point line. But the real main issue of what that game for me was Julius Randle, if he's hurt, the Knicks are not winning the series. Like he was hurt that game.
True.
And every single time that the ball swing around the 3-point line, guess who was always getting guarded very easily defensively? Obi Toppin. They were like, we're going to make Obi beat us. Even Obi had a decent game. We had like 18 points, but it was all wide open shit, right? Like, you're going to make him, because when you have Obi and Mitchell Robinson on the floor at the same time, there's so much little spacing there between those two. And the Miami Heat are just too smart to allow the Knicks to overcome them without Julius Randle. So no Julius Randle, the Miami Heat are going to the Eastern Conference Finals. But for me personally, if Julius Randle's coming back game two and he's going to play game two through game seven, I'm sticking with the Knicks to come out of this series, man.
Oh, I get it. I'm a roll. I mean, so first to go through your first point. Mm-hmm. 10 points and you weren't shooting the best and your best player was 0-for-7 from 3-point line and you only lost by 10. I wouldn't take that as a bad loss.
Me either.
I wouldn't take that as, okay, series is over. I would really pick myself back up, dust myself off, and look at the next game and look forward. They're young. They need they have good coaching over there. They just need to just look past this game. Yeah. It's fine. Everybody has a bad game. You're not going to win them all.
Yeah.
Look past it. Because that's what the playoffs is about. Everybody wins and loses. You got it's just how you navigate those wins and losses. You can't get too high on the wins and too low on the losses.
Yeah.
And if they can do that, then I can see them beat Miami because they're a very talented team, talented young team, and they can get past them.
Yeah.
They can. They have too many offensive weapons, and I think that could become a problem for the defensive capabilities of the Miami Heat.
Yeah.
Now, one thing that they do have to worry about right now is, like I said before, playoff Jimmy is a thing, and he's on a run right now.
Yes.
What do you have? He had 36 the last game, 53 before that to push it to 3-1. He had 25 tonight. I mean, like, you don't know when he's slowing down.
In no time soon.
So if he could keep this up, which I'm assuming he will, this series is going 7. I see it going 7. I think it's going to be a deciding factor in New York.
Yeah. Yeah, one of the biggest reasons why I'm leaning Knicks is because at the guard position, other than Jimmy Butler guarding Jalen Brunson, like, they still got Emmanuel Quickley, they still got Quentin Grimes, they still got RJ Barrett, right? And guys like Duncan Robinson have to guard, Kyle Lowry, Cody Martin. And on the defensive end, those shot creators that they have at New York, they don't have to work to guard Kyle Lowry. They don't have to work to guard Cody Martin. They don't have to work to guard Duncan Robinson. Most of that is standstill threes. They might move a little bit, but it's not going to be that much. So their depth of shot creators at the guard position, not really having to be working on the defensive end, especially Jalen Brunson, really, for me personally, leads me to really be high on the Knicks coming out of this series. But Jimmy Butler's, you're gonna have to take it from him, right? Like,
yeah, you're gonna have to kill him.
You're gonna have to show up, man, because he's gonna
I like that mentality, though. That's something that's been missing from basketball for a minute. I like that, okay, you gotta kill me in order to stop me type of thing, like, because he's gonna do what he's gonna do.
Yeah,
he's gonna savagely beat you down and talk to you while he's doing it.
Yeah. I mean, this guy in the playoffs turns into, like, a top 10 small forward, shooting guard, whatever you want to call him, of all time. Like, this dude is such a ridiculous gear. And it's hilarious because in the regular season, he averages, like, 22. You know what I mean? Like, he just is cruising. And then he kicks it, like, nobody has a bigger disparity. And I honestly don't think we've ever seen anybody like him like that. Like, even guys that are like, okay, think about players that they would do amazing in the playoffs. People say MJ, Kobe, Legault,
Bron,
Steph Curry, right? All of them won MVPs. All of them could do it in the regular season just as well, right? Jimmy Butler, for some reason, just goes hiding in a cocoon for 12 months, and then he comes out and is like, oh, I'm Michael Jordan today. Like, the fuck
That's really how it is. That's really how it is. He wakes up, it feels like Kobe.
Exactly.
This is the playoff start.
It's amazing to watch. It's great TV. It makes great TV.
It really is.
Yeah.
It absolutely is.
Okay.
So one thing I do want to talk about, and from one injury to another injury, you know, I was talking about the Bucks and the Grizzlies as far as injuries.
Yeah.
I'm scared for Joel Embiid.
Okay, what is that?
Did you hear about what happened?
Something with
his
hand?
They said that they upgraded it.
Something with his hand?
Right? No, I thought it was his knee.
Knee? Okay, yeah, you're right.
I think it's upgraded to a torn meniscus.
Oh my goodness, really?
Yeah, I think it's like something like that. So
I had one of those.
Don't quote me on this, but I remember reading it just like probably a day or two ago. I should have saved it. But yeah, like, they said they don't even know if he's going to play, really. Like, because he didn't practice. Mm. He didn't practice yesterday or Friday. I think it was either yesterday or Friday. Wait, yeah. Today's Sunday. So it was either Saturday or Friday. He didn't practice. And they were saying, they was like, yeah, he didn't even do anything. So I don't think he's going to. And that looks bad for the Sixers now.
Yeah.
Because they're not getting past anybody without Joel Embiid.
True. Yeah. Agreed.
So it looks like hate it or love it, Boston has an easy ride to the Eastern Conference Finals.
Yes. Yeah, Boston's in a whole different level than everybody else in the NBA playoffs. You know, and shout out Trae Young. Hey, let's take a 30 seconds here. The narratives, that man that pushed the Boston Celtics basically by himself to 6 games, yeah, didn't make the All-Star team. I'd like to sink that in. Let me visualize here. Okay, visualize Tyrese fucking Halliburton in the same goddamn situation. How many games does he win against the Boston Celtics? Zero. Zero. It is not even close. Okay, we'll talk about another guard that made an All-Star game. Jrue Holiday. Imagine him in Trae Young's spot. 0 games. Zero. You know what I mean? Like, this is just... He should have been an All-Star. He kind of redeemed himself within the casual fans, but we've been saying this for so long, man. Trae Young has been underrated. It's ridiculous. He's so special. Atlanta's got something good moving forward, but yeah, Boston Celtics, I completely agree, man. Without Joel Embiid being the same, it might be 5. It might be 5, and the Boston Celtics, in my opinion, they're my favorite to win it all right now. I think they're the best team, and I don't see anybody coming out of the West that's going to give them issues.
Okay. Now, hear me out, right? Could it be said that even though Trae Young pushed him to 6 games, right?
Mm-hmm.
Could it be said that the Boston has had the easiest road to the Eastern Conference Finals and possibly an NBA Finals appearance out of any other team?
It could be said, but I don't think it should take away from how great of a team that they've been all year. How great. I really truly feel like NBA, as an NBA championship team, like they'll be in a legit NBA championship team. Like they might not be, you know, the Warriors with KD and Curry, right? But they'll just below that. Like Toronto Raptors won a ring, the Milwaukee Bucks to won a ring. You know what I mean? And I mean, even the first year Golden State Warriors team, this Boston Celtics team could be on that level. I mean, they got two special guys on the outside. The issue with the Boston Celtics was the odd way that the Bucks played. You know what I mean? Because of the Giannis and Giannis being able to attack the paint and Bobby Portis and Brook Lopez being able to give the Boston Celtics issues at the rim and posting up and like bench depth and putting Robert Williams in foul trouble, right? But what team in the NBA playoffs is going to attack the paint like that? That's got somebody that's 6'10 or bigger, right? Joel Embiid's going to be hurt. Okay, so Golden State Warriors, you don't got to worry about any of that. They're switchable, great defense like that. The Boston Celtics, they don't scare them. The Lakers, I mean, AD's great, but they don't have, you know, LeBron James isn't the same basket attacker that he used to be. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
The Suns don't have any great basket attackers. I mean, the Denver Nuggets have, Jamal Murray can really do it, but he's small and Robert Williams built to stop a guy like that. And they're just perfect. This playoffs are working out perfectly for the Boston Celtics to win. So I'm standing firm. Boston's going to come out in this NBA season with the champ. What are you thinking? Do you think they have the juice?
I don't know yet because like I just really want to see them like what I want to see in the Eastern Conference Finals now, and I'm going to switch my prediction.
Okay.
Just because I want to see them go against somebody with, I mean, a team. I want to see them go against a team that's going to give them problems, right? That's going to give them some form of competition. I want to see them go against Miami. Miami with Jimmy Red Hot, you know, as he is right now. I want to see them go against Miami. I want to see them have legit competition.
They'd sweep them.
Legit competition.
They would sweep them. You want to know why?
Four.
Okay. Jimmy can only guard one. Can't guard Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown. And Jason Tatum can guard Jimmy. Who else? Yeah. What other wing defender do they have?
Nobody.
Yeah. Yeah. It would be... bro. Boston would run through Miami at 4.
But just... like, I don't know. I just want to see them go against somebody that, like... Not saying that Atlanta didn't give them problems. They did. They took 2.
Yeah.
But now they're about to... If Joel Embiid can't come back... And he's done for the playoffs. Mm-hmm. and they can't get them back.
Yeah,
that's a gentleman's sweep. They're going. They're going. Yeah. They have the easiest road to the finals right now.
True.
The easiest road.
True.
And I just want to see them have some form of friction.
I feel like that's pretty reasonable, though. It's like watching an anime without, like, any, like, big fights or something like that. You know what I mean? I see where you're coming from. Like, you want to see the boss fight type of thing.
Right.
They might not get that until the NBA finals. I'm so sorry.
And then it just depends on who they play.
Yeah. It could be interesting. It's gonna. There's a lot of people that could have chances to go to the NBA Finals. It's gonna be crazy. The West is so in flux.
So that's crazy. I guess that's a nice, you know, transition to the West. What you got to tell me? I know you've been dying to tell me something about the West all days. What's up? What's up?
You know, there's a few things that I'm gonna pop off about, but this is a big one. This is like. Been talking to myself all day about this.
Uh-huh. Bro,
I watched that Suns Nuggets series that, in theory, the Suns should win. And I was losing my shit. First things first, if this continues, Monty Williams is not a top 5 coach in the NBA, not a top 10 coach in the NBA, not a top 15 coach in the NBA, not a top 20 coach in the NBA, not a top 25 coach in the NBA. Not a top 30 NBA coach. He is at the bottom of the list if this continues. Because it's so egregiously bad what he's doing right now. Okay, I'm going to explain this to you. The Denver Nuggets one game blew him out. But the reason why they blew him out, in my correct opinion, is the Denver Nuggets played at a fast pace and controlled the tempo of the basketball game. Nikola Jokic is running up and down the floor. He's hitting outlet passes and starting the fast break. They came in with the intention to force their pace. Okay? Anybody that understands high-level basketball, has played high-level basketball, knows that part of the point guard's job, point guard for Denver is Nikola Jokic, part of the point guard's job is to get their team to play at the pace of basketball that fits the strengths of their basketball team. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So you would think, Chris, that Chris Paul would control the tempo. Okay? So if and the Suns just played at the Denver Nuggets tempo, okay, then why is that Chris Paul's fault? Because Chris Paul, when he was on the floor, had the ball in his hands about 30 to 40% of the time starting plays. Mm-hmm. Imagine that shit. The amount of times that I saw that man standing in the goddamn corner like he's Cam fucking Johnson. I was losing my shit. You can't have the point god, a guy who's top 5 all-time assist to turnover ratio, not pulling the goddamn strings when he is in the starting lineup and he has and is in, on the floor. Because a lot of the times they're starting the ball with KD. They're starting the ball with Devin Booker. They're putting their ball in their hands. And it sounds great in theory. And when you play 2K, it sounds great. But both of those guys are high turnover players. Both of those guys aren't point guards and don't understand how to control pace. So you know what happens? They create turnovers, and Denver's running back up the floor to go get an easy basket, right?
Yeah.
The Denver Nuggets played at such a high pace that it leaned into their strengths, which is perimeter three-point shooting. Because everybody knows whenever you get taught anything about basketball, whenever there's a fast break coming and you're the defender, everybody's taught to guard the rim. Okay, so when the rims collapse and the guy with the ball in his hands collapses defense, there's going to be a KCP on the corner. There's going to be an Eric Gordon on the corner three. There's going to be a Michael Porter Jr. open on a corner three. And I've never seen a team in the playoffs get more high quantity of high quality three-point shots ever. I've never seen anything like this. I don't know what Monty Williams is doing, but Chris Paul needs to have the ball in his hands so he can play chess with Jokic. Because Jokic is out there playing chess. Bro, he won that game. I don't care. Jamal Murray had a great game. dropped 34. Nikola Jokic won that game by being the manipulator. He controlled everything. And if this continues, the Suns will lose in 5 or 6. This is not going 7. And what's ridiculous about this is the answer is so obvious. This should have been something that came in before game one. They should have been like, okay, Denver likes to play at a faster pace. Well, we're going to slow down the pace. Why? Because when you're in the half court, what matters more is shot creators. The Suns have better shot creators in the half court. Their half court offense and defense is the situations that they want to be in more than in the fast break. So they needed Chris Paul to control the pace and slow everything down, right? And get the best shot each possession, allow KD to do his thing, allow Devin Booker to do his thing. You know what I mean? But they didn't let the guy who needs to be pulling the strings and being your chess player to play chess. It's ridiculous. Yeah. It's like asking Dwight Howard to hit standstill threes. It's like asking Giannis to hit standstill threes. It's like asking Nikola Jokic to play defense like his Bill Russell. Like, this is like, I say this in a sentence. I am going to have Chris Paul not initiate the offense more than 40 to 50% of the time when he's on the floor. Imagine how stupid, beyond stupid, that sounds. That's what was happening. Yeah. It was ridiculous. I've never seen anything like it. This is a clear Monty Williams issue. And on top of that, like, this is such an easy fix. All you got to do is allow Chris Paul, when he's on the floor, the ball has to go through him at least 80 to 90% of the time. You can do all that KD shit and Devin Booker shit when he's on the bench, okay? Initiate it, right? And the defensive answer is you pick up Jokic and Jamal Murray full court and you make them start their offensive set at about 16 to 18 seconds on the other side so that you take away time from them being able to initiate the offense so you slow down the game. That's it. People have been doing that strategy for decades. College teams do it. Every NBA team does it. Like, it's extremely efficient. Like, that's all they have to do. All they have to do is press up court. They don't even have to, like, try to get a steal. It's about making them take their time up court. And if they pass it to somebody else, like, let's say they pass it to KCP. Well, when KCP brings it out up the floor, he has to pass it to Jamal Murray. He has to pass it to Nikola Jokic to get them to run their set. So they're still taking time. You know what I mean? Like, take away time from them get initiating their offense and allow Chris Paul to pull the strings. The Suns will win this series. But if they don't, and if this continues, the Nuggets are going to beat them. And I would have never have guessed that. On top of everything, Jamal Murray looks amazing. Looks like playoff Jamal Murray. Yes. I think he dropped like 36. Dude was looking special. Extra spicy with all the sauce. Michael Porter Jr. showed some shot creation for himself. A few three-point shots, a nice fadeaway. Aaron Gordon had moments of shot creating as well. So if those guys are able to do that while Nikola Jokic and Jamal Murray are on the bench again all throughout the series, that's going to definitely help a lot. But if the Suns don't fix this shit, Nikola Jokic is just going to manipulate the series. And they're going to lose, and I'm going to be like, Monty Williams needs to be fired. Because it's just so ridiculously obvious. It's just so beyond stupid. I can't believe CP3 is getting used that way.
Well, all right, Chris. This wouldn't be the first time we've seen like a coach do something like this. Remember when the Clippers had Rondo
and
wouldn't play him?
Mm-hmm.
Like, we've seen this before, and common sense isn't all that common.
Mm-hmm.
And honestly, I couldn't agree with you more. Chris Paul needs to have the offensive. He needs to initiate the offense. He needs to slow the pace down. They need to go into a half-court setting because at the end of the day, you have weapons. You have Booker. You have KD. Cannot virtually unguardable.
Yeah.
But on the other end, you don't have that many defenders who can really guard against, like, Jokic and Jamal Murray because you put Chris Paul on Murray, he's going to get cooked. You put Ayton on Jokic, he's getting cooked.
Yeah.
So it's like, you kind of just have to figure out a way to cut down on the time. That's actually a really good point. Cut down the time in which they have the ball in their hands. And you force them a full court and then make them bring the ball up and then they have to make quick decisions. And that it turns into mistakes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But yeah, I want to see the Nuggets win. I want to see the Nuggets win.
They will.
I want to see them win. I want to see them win. And I also want to, I have a question for you, though.
Okay.
It's about the Suns, right?
Uh-huh.
The Suns' future. If the Suns lose to the Nuggets,
dear God,
is Monty Williams and DeAndre Ayton out?
At least Monty's out. I mean, dude, it's just, this is some Steve Nash type tomfoolery type bullshit. You know, Steve Nash in the playoffs a few years ago when they were facing the Boston Celtics had Patty Mills guarding Jaylen Brown, like doing some stupid shit. Like it's like just so beyond dumb. Like, how are you an NBA coach type stuff? And if Monty does that, then there's just every assistant on a bench, I don't care if it's the dude cleaning the fucking floors, the laundryman. It's such a low, like, anybody is like CP3. My God, I think he's like the all-time leader in assist to turnover ratio. Like, it's just like, what are we doing? Like, I don't know, Chris. He just fired.
I don't know. I think that, you know, Nuggets lose. I'm gonna go with Monty and Aiden are out, and they're gonna find somebody else to replace him.
Yeah.
And there's not a lot of good. Well, you might be able to, if maybe they're holding off because, hear me out. If the Suns lose, right? Monty gets fired. They bring in Nick Nurse.
Amazing hire.
Nick Nurse is available.
I know. I was actually thinking about him going somewhere else too.
Speaking of which,
okay.
Outside the playoffs, Ime is the Houston Rockets head coach.
I saw that. It just makes me so happy because, you know, I love Jalen Green. I love Jabari Smith. I love that Rockets team. They really need to learn how to play defense. So Ime there is amazing. He's such a phenomenal head coach. The Houston Rockets basically struck gold. Like, finding a top 10 coach for a developing team like that at the bottom of the barrel is just beyond amazing luck. But yeah. Boof. Ime there, dude. I'm so excited. So excited.
Now hear me out though.
Mm.
There is rumors circulating that the Houston Rockets are trying to package a deal to send Jalen Green out and bring James Harden in.
For me personally, that wouldn't make any sense for Houston. Like, I don't think next year, I think Jalen Green might be a better player next year than James Harden. And obviously you're getting the future. Like, Jalen Green averaged 22 this year. And nobody.
Yeah,
like, it's year two. I wouldn't. James Harden's a depreciating asset, older guy, rest of the team's young. Mm-hmm. I bet you. My personal theory on that is James Harden's probably blowing smoke, as much smoke into the air as possible. So when he goes into free agency, he can get as much money as possible. Right? Like,
yeah,
it's hard to trust what people say because a lot of the times when stuff like this comes out, there's stuff that's happening behind closed doors that, you know, nobody's actually talking about. Like, I read Andre Iguodala's book, and this is why you never trust what anybody says. And apparently he hated his coach in Arizona. And his coach at Arizona hated him. And basically pre-draft, he needed his coach to say good things about him. So you know what they did?
Yeah.
His manager, his like agent at the time, which was Rob Pelinka. Agent at the time goes to the room. His name's Lute Olson, is the old coach of Arizona. Goes to the room and basically is the handshake deal is you say good things about Andre Iguodala, it will come back and say good things about Andre Iguodala, will go and say good things about Arizona to new recruits type of thing and come back and stay around the college. And then they handshake on that deal and Lute Olson's going to the man, Andre Iguodala is such a great player in practice. Like, but really, in the book, like, Lute Olson hated him. But, like, they lied because they found something beneficial for each other. So that's why I don't buy into any bullshit that I hear anymore. Because we don't know what's going on behind closed doors about anything.
That's true.
Yeah.
Very true.
That's funny.
It's very true. It's very true. But that will be such a mistake if they got rid of Draymond Green as they are getting a good coach. That will be stupid.
Yeah, agreed. I completely agree with you, Chris. Completely.
That would make it. That would make such a bad thing. I mean, you know, bad. You know, such a bad decision going forward. Now, looking at Toronto, they don't have a coach yet, but they've been They've been allowed to interview. I think her name is Becky Hammon.
Uh huh.
So that's a possibility for coach, and I don't know who else they're trying to interview, but who knows? Maybe we have another Nate McMillan run somewhere else, maybe in Toronto. Who knows?
Yeah. I'm pretty sure, Becky Ham's one of the rare few women coaches in NBA basketball. You know, if she's qualified, then, you know, give her the job. I don't really see an issue personally with female coach. She gets the job done. She gets the job done. Nah, nothing else matters.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, if it turns into wins and championships, then who cares, right?
Yeah, I completely agree.
But hey, who knows?
I think he's been around. She's been around top too. I think she's one of those old San Antonio Spurs on one of those benches for a while.
Yeah, she was on San Antonio Spurs bench for a while. And then she went and won a WNBA championship with some team. Don't know. I'm not completely sure. Yeah. So she just won it, I think, last year.
Wow. That's nice. That's dope.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
You know who's coached there for a while? WNBA, Bill Laimbeer. Apparently he won a lot of championships on that level. Yeah. But he never got a shot in the NBA.
No. I wonder why.
Ah, bad boys. Maybe they don't want to touch him because of all the extracurricular stuff, the bad boys and all the labels and stuff like that. I could see that.
True. But Isaiah got a job as after the bad boys.
That's
though.
True, but Isaiah's Isaiah.
He didn't make the USA team.
He's still Isaiah though. Two rings.
You know what I mean?
He's a bad that man can ball. Isaiah Thomas can ball.
He can ball.
Yeah.
He can ball. You're absolutely right.
Yeah. But you wanna know who I think Nick Nurse should go to?
Who?
The Memphis Grizzlies. Yes.
Are they firing their coach?
No, they're not. They are not. There's not been any news about this, but I have a very personal opinion on the reason why. So, Memphis Grizzlies lost to the Lakers. And I feel like part of the issue is, something I've talked about before, is they don't mentally act like champions. Right?
Yeah.
Like, champions 101 is... When you're in the interview, you don't say anything bad about the other team because you don't want to give them any extra wallpaper material. Like, okay, Draymond Green said the Kings suck at basketball. All right. Mike Brown comes in the office, who's the head coach of the Sacramento Kings. All right, this is what Draymond Green said. You know, fuel to the fire of NBA athletes, right? You know what I mean? Like, the game within the game is to not give the other team as little motivation as possible through your actions, which allows you to try to beat them. It will give you a better chance to beat them because they're not going to be as motivated, right? Like, I don't know if you've ever talked shit to somebody else, but if you talk shit to the wrong person, they get extra motivated. They have a better chance of beating you. NBA athletes are usually highly egotistical. Think they're the guy. I mean, they're 1% of the 1% of the 1% athletes. You would think you were the guy too. You know what I mean? Like, they have reasons to think that way. And you know, it's just not a good look, right? Like, the mentality of a champion, right? Like, when Kobe Bryant's famous line of they're up 3-1 in the NBA finals and the reporter asked him about the playoffs and them trying to win, basically having it clinched up, he's like, job's not finished. We won? No. Job not finished, right? Like, the mentality of a champion. And I feel like the way that Ja Morant's like, anybody, you got any problems in the West? No. The only thing I got to worry about is the Boston Celtics. Somebody who says that is not somebody that got taught how to be a champion. Dylan Brooks poking the bear of, bro, I wish I played against a younger LeBron trying to, you know, play that game with the greatest NBA player of all time. Like, that's not going to work against him. An NBA champion mentality type of guy would know that's pointless. Why would I do that? Why would I lower myself to that? It's not going to affect him at all. Because, and I think part of the issue is the organization, the front office, the head coach has not done a good enough job of teaching them how to be champions. And I don't feel like he can do that. Now, I'm not saying that he's a bad coach because he's done a hell of a job developing the talent. He's done a hell of a job developing the team. He's a very good coach. I would, if he gets fired by the Grizzlies, he would get hired very quickly by another rebuilding team. But I feel like he's missing that piece of the mental edge. And Nick Nurse is one of the rare 5 to 7 guys that's an NBA coach right now that's got a ring on his finger. He walks into that locker room.
That's true.
And they'll give him immediate respect. And he'll be able to teach them how to mentally be champions, right?
Yeah.
And I feel like Nick Nurse would really elevate them. It's very rare to go into an offseason and have such a ridiculous high-level coaching candidate that can allow you to take that next step like Nick Nurse can. And I really feel like the Grizzlies' main issue is mentally. Like, they mentally just don't get it yet. And, you know, I know people will say, oh, they're young. Well, they're young and they don't understand it. Right, but they could be, you could say, oh, they're young, and keep on saying that excuse for the next 6 to 5 years. And they still might not learn how to be champions because somebody's got to teach them, right? They're not going to be able to break through the wall, and they just don't have anybody in the front office and the coaching staff that's getting able to get through the message through them. So Nick Nurse is exactly what they need. Also, he's a phenomenal coach. I think top 10, top 5 in the league. Schematically, he's got it all. So, Nick Nurse should be the coach of the Grizzlies, in my opinion.
Actually, that makes a lot of sense, though. I just want to quickly speak on what you were talking about with the mentality of a champion. They're definitely missing that. I think that the worst thing that could have been said during an NBA season was, I'm fine in the West.
The fuck?
That was the worst possible comment to be made.
Yes.
Even though they were red hot in the beginning, on a hot streak like none other.
Yes.
But they haven't won or accomplished anything yet, and the job wasn't finished. The regular season means nothing.
Yes. Yeah.
And for him to go out, yeah, I'm fine in the West. I'm worried about the Celtics and the Bucks. Like, you just automatically claiming your championship at that moment.
Yeah.
And every other team in the West is like, hold my beer for a second. Yes. We're about to show you something.
Yes. Yes. Hey, man.
Another guy. Dylan Brooks runs his mouth a lot.
Yes.
Too much. Pokes the wrong people too much. Yeah. For him to come out and say about the best player to ever touch a basketball, one of the best players to ever touch a basketball, to basically say, I don't respect him. Because he hasn't given me 40. I only expect players to give me 40. And he goes out and gives you 22 and 20.
Yeah.
And then the team beats your team
by 40. By 40. Exactly, Chris. Yep. That was so poetic.
Right?
There's got to be NBA gods out there. Because that is just way too, like, perfect.
That's perfect.
Oh, my goodness.
And then you get the bad boy treatment where, like, LeBron just walks off and just like, yeah, respect this. And AD, you know, AD says the perfect thing all the time. I think that more players need to just kind of keep into the same mindset of AD, right? When it comes to certain things. Yeah. He says, they were talking, we let our game do the talking for us.
Yep.
And that's what they did. Yes. They really showed up.
Yes.
After that comment, the next couple games, except for the game they lost in between there, exactly the way they wanted it to go.
Yeah.
Agreed. Their game did the talking for them.
Agreed.
That's what the Grizzlies need to learn. Just you guys are talented, young and talented, with so much potential. Let your game do the talking. Yeah. You don't have to keep the antics up. It's really... how do I say it? It's entertaining, right?
Yeah.
It made the game very entertaining, right? Yes. Oh, tabloids. Look at the Grizzlies. They're doing the walkout. Mm-hmm. They doing the dance and stuff like that. Yeah. It's all very entertaining. Dylan Brooks flat irons his hair and goes put on a fur coat and sits on the bench and stuff like that. It's entertaining.
Yeah.
Ja, I'm fine in the West. Poking the bear, Dylan Brooks.
Yeah.
Talking about, and then Desmond Bane talking about Rui, and Rui has a better series than he does.
That's hilarious.
All that stuff is just like, that's the type of things that you needed to leave. That was the antics that it was entertaining, but they should have left it alone. If you were, the job wasn't done.
Yeah.
In the words of Kobe, the job's not finished.
Yeah.
And they claimed it was, and they was like, oh, it's easy street. And now they're sitting at, now they're 1-2-3 Cancun.
Yeah, exactly.
It comes a time where they have to grow up in the NBA and become mentally ready to take on the challenges of becoming a champion.
Yeah.
And they're not there yet. For every basketball fan to be rooting against you because you just talk too much. That's a problem.
Yeah. Agreed.
So to really piggyback off your point, I agree. Nick Nurse or somebody with championship acumen, maybe even a good veteran. Steven Adams, sorry. I like Steven Adams. He's a good center for kind of strong guy who can kind of who won't be pushed around and grab rebounds and stuff like that. Not the right veteran for that team.
Mm-hmm.
Hasn't won anything. They need a veteran who has won who can say listen guys, that's not the way.
Yeah. Agreed.
Then I listen to Steven Adams anyway. He's another player on the team.
Agreed.
He can't get in there and guess. Chill out, guys. You know what I mean? This is not what we want to do if we want to win a... Shut up, Steven Adams. Where's your ring at? Where's your jury?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I agree.
They need somebody a Haslam who's been on the team. Mm-hmm. Well, he's never leaving the Miami Heat, but you know what I mean?
Yeah.
A Haslam or somebody like that who's been on a team for a long time, who has won rings with the team, who knows what it takes to get to that level, who can really, listen, guys, look, you want one of these? It's what it takes.
Yeah, I agree. I completely agree. And from one great series to another, that Sacramento Kings, Golden State Warriors series, man, made me so sad because I picked the Kings in six. But I could,
let's go!
I could at least have solace that in my heart of hearts, I can know that I truly believe if De'Aaron Fox did not fracture his left Ed Nook's finger in game four, that they would have won. Yes. Like, there was a clue.
Curry's on a different level, though.
What? What'd you say?
Curry's on a different level.
But,
go ahead.
Game 1-4, I have stats here. He averaged 31.4 points a game, 44.6% from the field goal percentage. Game 5, they lost by 5 and by 7. He had 24 points, which is 7.4 less than his normal total. He had 36% for the field goal percentage, which is 8% less than his usual. So if he would have had his normal amount of points, they would have won Game 5. Game 6, they win. Yeah. Right? Game 7 tonight, he had 16 points on 26.3 field goal percentage. Game 5 through 7, he averaged 22 points per game. And again, game 1 through 4, pre-index injury, it was 31.4. Game 5 through 7 after the next injury, 38.7 field goal percentage. That is ridiculously bad. Game 1 through 4, it was 44.6 field goal percentage. I truly still believe Sacramento Kings would have came out in 6. I can always have solace in that. It makes me sad that he was injured. But it was a hell of a series. So much fun to watch. Yeah. I honestly didn't expect them to win game 6. It was so surprising. But Malik Monk got super hot. Golden State Warriors, they move on. Do you have anything else to say before we talk about the Warriors versus Lakers?
Yeah, I just wanted to say this is nothing that the Kings should hang their head over. No. They gave one of the best teams in the league,
Agreed.
Champions, four or five, four-time champions as a unit.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, one of the best series they probably have played in a while.
Yes.
Outside the 2016 Cavs, and you know, because once they got KD, it was pretty much over from there. So for such a young team to push that team to its limit into seven games, kudos to them. Yeah. They have nothing to be ashamed of, nothing to be sad about. Next year, you come back stronger. That's all you got to do, and they could be the one to move past into the second round. You know, because they get another good matchup, become better, add some pieces, and time will tell. I will say the Golden State Warriors, they got some problems. They are not gelling mentally like they should be at this point. Mm. And that's going to end up being their downfall going forward.
Okay. And so you're saying that the Lakers are going to beat the Warriors?
I'm going Lakers. And I'm just going to say it's just because they're not, I don't see, like, look, Curry, I'm a believer, right?
Yeah.
I'm a believer, but I mentally, that team's not gelling like they should be.
Yeah. Jordan Poole's having a really bad postseason right now as well.
Yes.
Very, very up and down. One game he has 20, next game he has 6. It's been very off and on for him. So I'm going to go with the Lakers too. 6 or 7 games. It's going to be a good series, though. Golden State, not going to be. Nobody's going to beat them easily, you know, but the ability of AD to guard the pick and roll, the ability to AD to dominate Kevin Looney on the boards, ability for AD to not really be able to be stopped by Kevin Looney, and I just, you know, the only thing that gives the Warriors a little bit of an edge is they can throw Draymond Green and Andrew Wiggins at Braun. Right, and they can rotate those two. That's like the only thing, man, that's got me like, can the Lakers overcome it? It's going to be a really good series. Really, really good. But I'm going to go Lakers 6 or 7. But I wouldn't be surprised
if the Lakers can play like a complete team. I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, I was done with my point. I said the Lakers are going to win 6 or 7, but the Golden State, I wouldn't be surprised if Golden State pulls out the upset.
Okay. If the Lakers can play like a complete team like they were against the Grizzlies and keep that momentum going, I think they take the Warriors.
Okay.
Cuz I think that they can be a complete team like they were against Memphis. They could take the Warriors.
Okay.
They could take the Warriors in 7. I will give them the Warriors in 7.
Okay. So,
I'm sorry. They would beat the Warriors in 7.
Okay. So if we both have Lakers, let's say the Suns keep on playing their style and the Nuggets win. Nuggets versus Lakers. Who do we have?
Ooh, a bubble rematch. I'm going.
That's actually kind of funny. Yeah, it is.
Yeah, it's a bubble rematch. I'm going Lakers.
Okay.
I'm going Lakers. Lakers to the NBA Finals.
I would have to agree.
To face the Celtics.
They would face the Celtics.
It's poetic, almost.
Oh, Lakers-Celtics? Oh, dude, that would be great. Oh, that'd be great TV.
Poetic.
That'd be great
TV. It's poetic. Yeah.
I would go Boston. Would you go Boston, too?
I've learned that I should not underestimate LeGoat.
Okay.
So I'm going to go Lakers.
Okay.
Lakers, and LeBron gets his 6th ring. I mean, 5th ring.
I think it would be like 11 or 12 NBA appearances.
I wonder if he would tie.
Yeah.
That'd be really cool.
Yeah. Listen, 5th ring, LeBron James, I mean, it was already being said, like, you know, in NBA media that if LeBron was to win the finals this year, it would be hard to say that he's not the greatest player of all time. Me and you have been saying that he's the greatest player without this ring. So yeah. That would just solidify our point even more. Yeah.
I think this would be the first time, though, where I think best player still.
You don't think he was the best player? So you think that if Lakers Celtics meet in the NBA Finals, you know, poetically, you think that this will be the first time LeBron is an underdog?
I think this is the first time that I've watched the playoffs, and I've said AD might really be the best player on the Lakers.
That is great news.
AD is playing like normal AD.
Didn't he have like 14 blocks?
Something ridiculous. Like, you know, LeBron's LeBron passing wise, but the scoring is not as high as we're used to seeing in the playoffs, I guess is what I'm getting at. He hasn't been able to hit that extra gear that we're used to seeing. Do you see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Okay. So
I definitely see what you're saying.
Yeah. So I think even though he's amazing. Yeah, in the last five games, LeBron's had 28 points, 25, 22, 15, 22. Yeah. Like, he's been kind of the same guy as he is in the regular season. Right, but AD's still doing... Let me see here. Let's see. Bring up Anthony Davis.
I think he had, like, 14 or 15 blocks. It was something ridiculous like that.
Yeah, AD of the last five games has 13, 31, 12, 31, 16, up and down. Yeah, last game he had five blocks. The game before he had three. The game before that he had four. The game before that he had two. The first game he had five. Yeah. And on the boards he's ridiculous. Nine rebounds last game, 17 before, 11 before that one, 19 before that one, 14 before that one. So... You know, just like everything AD does, and if he continues to drop like 26, 27 a game, I think the case might be made that the best player in the Lakers team right now is AD.
And that's great news.
Yeah, I mean, AD's playing at a great level right now. There's nothing wrong with saying that.
Yeah, that's actually great news. If you're a Lakers fan and that doesn't make you just a little bit happy... Yeah. I don't know what to do for you because that makes me happy because this is what we've been waiting for as, you know, somebody who likes the Lakers and who just, you know, enjoys LeBron James, stuff like that. We've been waiting on the moment where LeBron can take a back seat to somebody. Yeah. And for him to just, you know, slowly age into the game and let somebody else take over. AD is supposed to be that guy 2 to 3 years ago. He's becoming that guy. So this makes me happy. I'm okay. If AD just leads this team all the way through and LeBron can be semi-pedestrian, you know what I mean? Hit like 22, 20, you know, hang around in there and really facilitate and make everybody better, they can go far.
Yeah. Agreed. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. This makes me happy. This is exactly what I want.
Yeah. That's going to be a great series. But the NBA playoffs are going to be great. The rest of the NBA playoffs are going to be great. I can't wait to watch it, everything. So it's as a basketball fan, should we just enjoy it? You know, turn on this podcast, go watch a game. You know what I mean? Like, have fun. Like, just enjoy, appreciate the playoffs, man, because it's rarely this entertaining. I mean, let's talk about real quickly. The Golden State Warriors versus the Lakers, that's a great matchup. So much intrigue.
That's a great matchup. Suns
versus Nuggets, that's a great matchup. So much intrigue.
That's a great matchup.
76ers versus Boston, so intriguing. Right? Nobody saw this coming, the Miami Heat versus the Knicks. That's a great matchup. Who's going to win? Who's going to be able to say, hey, my team went to the Eastern Conference Finals in 2023. Nobody expected to happen. It was a great story. You know what I mean? Yeah. And if you're a basketball fan, just enjoy, sit back and enjoy. These games are great right now. So is there anything else you want to say, Chris?
I just want the Celtics to have some form of competition.
You want that final boss. I understand.
No more easy street until the NBA finals. I don't want them to have a cakewalk all the way there.
In my opinion, it's over. This is no teams close to them. But it's going to be fun to watch.
Golly, Bob. All right. Yeah, that's all I had to say. I just want to see some form of confrontation, you know, of good, you know, competitiveness. A team is going to push the Celtics to at least seven.
Yeah.
But I don't think that's happening.
Nope. No.
Sixers had the best chance, but not anymore. It's because Joel Embiid's hurt. So
yeah, sadly.
Yeah. Sadly. Yeah.
I'm ready.
Oh, one more thing. Okay, cool. One more thing. It did come out, for anybody who's not completely into NBA media and NBA news, that Coach Budenholzer's, I think his brother passed away.
Oh, yeah.
So condolences to that, to the Budenholzer family and to Coach Budenholzer. Yeah. You know what I mean? I know it's a tough time for him, and we shouldn't be so hard on him, coaching wise, especially since he was dealing with the death of a family member, a very close family member.
Agreed.
During the time of that series. So yeah.
I feel you on that one.
Yeah.
Yeah, I completely agree with you, Chris.
Alrighty, guys. Now on to a lighter note. Thank you all of you guys out there for listening, for continuously listening, for always, clicking on us, checking out TikTok, YouTube. Our YouTube is doing great. So yeah, keep watching those reels, keep watching those shorts. Just want to say thank you guys for listening so much.
Yeah.
You are, the best part. You are what makes us us. So, without you, there is no us. So is there anything else you want to say, Jay?
No, man. Thank you guys for listening to the podcast. Keep on listening to the playoffs. It's going to be great. We're going to be listening, dropping stuff each week. And after that, in offseason, things are going to be hectic. We got free agency, NBA draft, all that type of stuff. So definitely tune in. Keep on tuning in.
Listeners, all right. So I'm Chris Mahoney.
I'm Justin Collins,
and we are the Basketball Addicts. Peace.
Ouch.
Selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business, from the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.